Or as we like to say when it comes to this time of the month,
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Quite right too. In the studio, we've got the return of ace writer and MA creative writing guru that is Michael Blackburn. How are you, Michael?
I'm very well, thanks very much, Alex.
We've also got the return of ace marketing soul, formerly marketing intern, although still technically marketing intern for a few more days before she steps into Julie Ellaby's wonderful shoes. That's the amazingly wonderful Alice Dale. How are you, Alice?
I'm great, thank you.
Excellent, and making his debut, because he's up here from Brighton, an ace public relations undergraduate reading all sorts of marvellous things. That will be Ben Lewis. How are you, Ben?
Hello, Alex. I'm very well, thank you.
Splendid. Coming up very, very shortly, we're going to be listening to The Joys of Elliot Morris. And on the programme today, well, not only Elliot Morris is going to be sharing his latest wonderful piece of music with us, we're also going to be finding out from Alice what the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre's new season entails. And already it looks very exciting, it has to be said. I shall say no more. We've also got author Will Cohu talking about his latest Linden book signing, more from Michael, and a whole heap of other goodies here on Siren FM, Lincoln's first community radio station.
As a kid, I used to dream of being a sailor, of living my life on the sea. But there was one little problem. I didn't like sailing. Some things just aren't meant to be. When I was older, I said, I get a job on the railways. But my she laughed back at me. I've seen you run out of steam, and you can't read signals. Some things just aren't meant to be. Some things aren't meant to be. They just don't come easily. Some things just aren't meant to be. At first you might not see, but take this one from me. Some things just aren't meant to be. I follow a road that's twisted and bending. The atlas takes me for a ride. With both feet on dry land, it's never plain sailing. I'd rather be swept by the tide. Because some things are meant to me, they just don't come easily. Some things just aren't meant to me. At first you might not see, but take this one from me. Some things just aren't meant to. I wrote the song, the hard part was the ending. The last chord just didn't sound right. But I kept it in anyway, I might change it one day. It seemed to make sense at the time. Because some things are meant to me, they just come so easily. Take this one from me. Something
splendid and absolutely wonderful. The joys of Elliot Morris there. Some things were just meant to be. A bit like getting Pledge Music to actually fund your latest album. And he's vanished from the whole circle. Do you get the feeling it's just one of those areas where you just think, what's going to happen? Alice, share with us what's happening in the upcoming season with the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre whilst we endeavour to hopefully reach Elliot Morris once again.
Okay, so we've got a lot coming up. Our new season has just gone on sale. The most exciting thing that we have coming up is in the last weekend of the last couple of days of September, the first weekend of October, we have a pop-out festival. So last year we had Roundabout's Payne's Plough, who came and visited us. They brought their big geodome in the round theatre. It pops up outside of our building, just between us and the library.
It was actually quite a phenomenal sort of presentation to actually have there. I mean, Ben, do you remember that geodome when it popped up last year?
Very, very briefly. Mm. But I heard quite a lot of stuff went down in there.
Such as, Alice. What stuff went down?
So we had Payne's Plough, the company that bring it. They brought three shows last year. So we had The Human Ear, Our Teacher's a Troll and Lungs. And then we had a big selection of other theatre, other music that kind of echoed our main season, so it's like a micro season of events from us.
A micro season of the cosmos. in a wonderful thing. And when's that actually happening this time?
So the 29th of September to the 2nd of October. So we've got three events from Payne's Plough. They're bringing their show called Growth, a show called I Got Superpowers for My Birthday, which is a children's show, and another show called Love Lies in Taxidermy.
So this, of course, is Love Lies in Taxidermy.
Love Lies and Taxidermy.
Ah, Love Lies and Taxidermy. Not one to get stuffed about, I think. But very important. Love Lies and Taxidermy. As opposed to the sequel, which might be Love Lies in Taxidermy.
Possibly.
Way forward. Michael, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Again, it's a jewel in the crown of the Lincoln University campus, which is developing in all sorts of marvellous ways. What were your last sort of performances that you caught there? Did you catch Shakespeare season?
Yes, last September, October, November. Yes, we went to quite a few things. We went to the week of the Shakespeare performances, which was great. So we saw some plays that I'd never seen before, including King John. Went to see Waiting for Godot, which was really good. That was a great performance. And some music as well, John Lyle, the world-famous pianist. So,
And are you still offering, Alice, the opportunity for young folks such as Ben here, Ben Lewis, marketing person extraordinaire, to actually get involved as producers for the extra?
Yes, so we have our young people's group, which is called LPAC Producers. They meet on a Monday night around 6 o'clock, and it kind of gives you the chance to get involved in different projects, kind of program events, market things.
See the public relations side of things?
Yeah, exactly. At the minute, we're kind of looking at giving them masterclasses, so like how we can get industry professionals in to kind of give them a masterclass on what they do and how
does that appeal, Ben?
Yeah, it does sound quite appealing. I'd love to run it by some of my PR associates.
I think you should. Let's face it, within the PR society and other things, etc., why don't we sort of connect on that basis? Because it makes perfect sense, really. We can work together. Michael will attest to the fact we once used to be the School of Humanities as opposed to the School of Performing Arts and the School of English and Journalism, but we still talk to each other.
We do.
Whether we can actually talk to our wonderful musician Elliot Morris really is at the behest of the telephone gods.
Lisa likes brandy and the way it hits her lips. She's a rock and roll survivor with pendulum hips. She's got deep brown eyes that have seen it all. Working at a nightclub that was called The Avenue, the barman used to call her Little Lisa Looney Tunes. She went down on almost anyone. But from the hard time living till the Chelsea days, from when her hair was sweet blonde till the day it turned gray, she said, L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. You got more than money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you go in your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you're going your own way.
like a map on their face. And Joey was an artist just living out a case, but his best word was his letters home. Extended works of fiction about imaginary success, when chorus girls and neon were his closest thing to friends. But to a writer, the truth is no big deal. And from the hard time living to the sleepless nights and the black and blue body from the weekend fights, he'd say, L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more than money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you're going your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you're going your own way. Just breathe in the air and blink in the light. On my last night on earth, I pay a high price to have no regrets and be done with my life. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more than money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you're going your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you're going your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. Got more than money and sense, my friend. You got heart and you're going your own way. L-I-F-E-G-O-E-S-O-N. What you don't have now will come back again. You got heart and you're going your own way.
A matter of moments ago, when we were about to do the big introduction and say describe our acoustic magazine as the next big thing with wonderful UK tours in which he supported Paul Carrack from Squeeze, Mike and the Mechanics, Ace, and indeed Eric Clapton, we will now, fingers crossed, hopefully say, is the legend that is Elliot Morris online? Are you with us, Elliot?
I am. Hello, hello, hello.
Good to hear you. Elliot, this is exciting news because Tallulah Rendell was the last person that we actively supported in terms of securing her pledge funding, but we have a new Elliot Morris tune around. And as Tallulah said, quick introductions, by the way, Elliot, in the studio we have, from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, the amazingly talented Alice Dale.
Hello, Elliot.
Hello, how are you doing?
The equally talented, in different ways, writer Michael Blackburn.
Hi, Elliot.
Hi, mate.
And, of course, the wonderful Ben Lewis.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
All right, man.
Excellent. You see, all right, man, he gets down. He can identify that whole sort of sequence on that basis. We started off, of course, with the one of your ace tracks. But share with us, Elliot, what have you been doing since last you appeared on Inspired On Air?
So when was that? That was a few months ago, wasn't it? I think I'd just come off a tour with a band called the Brothers Landreth, a Canadian band who were over for their first tour of the UK. And I, to be honest, decided at the start of the year that I was gonna get the album sorted this year finally. But I was asked to do that tour, and then asked to do a few gigs off the back of it. So I've had to kind of nip it in the bud and go, no, right, it needs to happen now. Which is where we're at right now.
And it will. And we're going to talk a bit more about how it's going to be happening after we've actually had another Elliot premiere, which I refer to as EOTWB. It's because I like acronyms. You know, it's like, you know, you could put it after EOTWB. Would you like to introduce this little piece of magic that we're about to listen to, which you could say is kind of like reflecting the current political scene in certain ways, or maybe the global scene?
Definitely. Absolutely, yeah. This is a new song. This is an acoustic version of a song that will be on the album in all full band glory. But this is a song called "The End of the World Blues."
I went out early today. Saw an old man on my way. A long black cloak and a face of ashen grey. I thought it best I didn't stay. So I'd be known to fall behind, searching out my space and time. Let's it all unwind, out of sight, out of my mind. But we are all islands at heart, waiting for waters to part. And if the sun fell from the sky, everything turned black. Darling, you have my word that I would stay with you. And if the waves came and washed away everything you knew, left you at the end of the world blues, I would sing with you. I would sing with you. So leave with me early today. Down the banks and brain, it's up to us which path we choose to stray. Together we can brave the rain. But we are all islands at heart, waiting for waters to part. And if the sun fell from the sky, everything.
Dale, would you like to have Elliot Morris perform in your front room or living room?
That would be fantastic. He sounds great.
Michael, would you be interested in Elliot? Of course, with two L's, two T's, two R's and one S to avoid confusion with the Alabama country singer of the same name. Would you like Elliot to perform in your front room?
Yes, I would. I find that very, very pleasant music.
And
it's, yes.
Ben Lewis? So
I would, yeah, if I had my own living room.
Well... how can they do that, Ben? How can they actually sort of pledge to actually not only support your latest album, but get goodies such as a personalised performance from your good self, Elliot?
So if you head to pledgemusic.com/projects/Elliot Morris, and you've already clued people up with the way to spell that, they can sort of pledge in from as little as £8 to help make this album happen. So for £8, they get the download of the album on the release date. For £14, they get a physical CD, and it goes up, and there are some really exciting, unique goodies, things like signed set lists and signed bits of kit that we'll use in the studio, and vinyl and all sorts of crazy things up there. And everyone that pledges gets a thing called an access pass as well, which means a kind of backstage look at it all happening. So we'll be blogging, you know, video blogs and loads of extras from the studio and from the road over the next few months that if you pledge you can watch exclusively.
Frankly, it's almost unmissable. Ben, any questions or thoughts for yourself?
Well, I was just having a little read through the artists you supported, and I was just thinking there was a lot of artists I like there and stuff anyway, like Frank Turner and Ed Sheeran. What is it like supporting them on stage?
Amazing. You know, to be given the opportunity to support anyone that you look up to is always really eye opening. But the thing that I've found from all the people that I've shared a stage with is I've never met, you know, anyone not likable. You know how people say don't meet your heroes. I've never had a bad experience. I mean, Frank Turner's just the most wonderful guys, you know, really, really supportive of what I do. And Ed Sheeran's actually an old friend. So to be honest, we used to share gigs, you know, swap gigs back and forth between like Lincoln and Suffolk and London. But the last time I played with him, he booked me to support him with a band I was playing with at Nando's Festival. And it was in London, and I don't actually eat meat. And I was driving, so when we turned up, they said that there was all the free chicken and free beer that we wanted, but unfortunately, I couldn't partake in either of the things.
But it just shows the sacrifice that you actually go. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Alice, thoughts or questions for yourself?
When is your album out? That's a great question. When can we buy your new album?
Yeah, very good question. Well, I mean, to be honest, you can buy it now. You know, pledge is a way to pre-order it so that you kind of help it. The pledge campaign runs for about 3 to 4 months, and then the recording process will sort of overlap with that for a couple of months, and so we're hoping for an early 2017 release. But obviously if you're part of the pledge, you'll get to hear it before that, and you'll get little snippets and tracks along the way as well, so it's almost like it comes out as you sign up.
See, I'm thinking, Alice, in many ways you should put in a bid to ensure you had the reunification of Ed Sheeran and Elliot Morris at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. I mean, I think that's what Lincoln would sort of benefit from. Do you not think so?
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, would you be up for that? I mean, working with that sort of wonderful Nando-eating soul, Ed Sheeran once again, Elliot? I mean, would you sort of think...
I would.
Yeah,
I could put in a couple of phone calls.
Anytime.
Well, there we are. Michael, any thoughts for yourself?
I was just thinking on long, morbid, strange lines. What's the most bizarre venue you've actually done a gig in the last...
Okay, that's a very good question. I think I can answer it, though. One of the strangest gigs I did was this time, just earlier than this time last year, for the Lincoln Magna Carta celebrations. They locked me up in the Lincoln Women's Prison, put me behind bars, and I was singing songs about wrongful imprisonment and injustice, and they sort of let school children peer through the bars as I did so. It was very odd, and it was very cold in there, actually, very different to today.
Sounds like
not that I'm still in there. I'm not still in there. They let me out. It wasn't bad, you know. It was a good place.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose obviously you could actually get all sorts of strange exploitation movies coming out of Elliot Morris in a women's prison, but leave that for Tarantino to actually work through.
Different project.
Precisely. As Dave Gorman actually said of your good self, Elliot, his guitar playing is intricate and skillful, and his voice is strong and honest, heartfelt, folky pop.
There you go.
So, will you be checking out the album, Ben?
I will now. I'm going to add you to my Spotify when I get in.
So, oh, good luck.
On the case, no messing about with Ben Lewis. He's from Brighton, you know about.
Very good music scene in Brighton.
Exactly. Life continues. Elliot, it's been fantastic as ever. I'm thinking, actually, given the challenges we've been having with some of the sort of headphone circuitry, etc., perhaps man on wire would be a nice sort of way to actually...
why not?
Do you think it'll be okay? Because, I mean, the eyes is obviously up there, unquiet, grave. Can be a bit scary for this time of day. Home, of course, but shall we go with man on wire, would you say?
Yeah, why not?
Round of applause for Elliot Morris, please. And a reminder, Elliot, how can people actually support your album? By going to Pledge Music now, pledgemusic.com/projects/Elliot Morris, I believe.
That's the one. Thank you so much for having me.
but I'm never gonna stop. Moving for the sake of moving, 'cause I am the man. I'm never gonna stop moving for the sake of moving, 'cause I am the man.
Of the joy of Inspired On Air, of course, is the opportunity it provides for us to celebrate the best of new authors, new writers, indeed current authors and wonderful writers and so on, and people who are visiting the wonderful world of Lindum Books. And looking forward to July 27th, in a week's time actually from when this programme is being broadcast, the legend that is Will Cahoo is going to be appearing in the Lindum Bookstore Wednesday 27th of July, 7 p.m, so literally just after the midweek drive here on Siren FM, and he'll be talking about his latest fantastic novel, Nothing But Grass. We're delighted to be able to say, Will Cahoo, welcome to the programme today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Excellent. Now, this particular thing, in the summer of 1875, two travellers walk south across the Lincolnshire Wolds to a village riven with dark secrets, when Norman Tanner kills his workmate on a cold February morning. A century later, he thinks he's got away with murder, but Norman doesn't know about the workmate's girlfriend. And so it continues. It sounds as though it's going to be an unmissable kind of Peaky Blinders, eat your heart out moment of wonderfulness.
Yes, there is a very kind of interwoven sort of plot that spans more than a century. It runs from 1875 through until about 2012, 2013, I think, is when the novel actually kind of concludes. It has quite an open end, and there are a series of kind of interrelated families and interrelated circumstances and deaths and disappearances that kind of hold the story together. But I think it's, it does have a strong kind of element of mystery, and, you know, there are crimes which sort of bubble beneath the surface of this community. But it's as much as anything, it's a story about a kind of a Lincolnshire community and the families and the lives that in it across this great swathe of time.
clearly we have the annual Harrogate Crime Writers Festival that's coming through. We have our very own host of the Book of the Month, Jenny Finch, who's a crime writer. Yeah, this fascination that we actually have as a reading public with crime and criminality, is it that sense of fascination on one hand, maybe slight sort of disturbedness on the other? Or is it something more psychologically rooted in our kind of psyche, really?
Well, the strongest stories, the strongest narratives are detective stories. You can go back to the Bible and Cain and Abel. There's a crime at the root of most things that fascinate us as a society. And as a kind of reader, of course, it's an immensely compelling narrative. It's an immensely strong way to find your way into the story that you're reading, into what's behind people's lives. I think day to day, a lot of us kind of actually approach our lives, as if they were kind of a mystery story, as if we're looking for the reasons why things happen, if we're questioning people's motives and looking behind to see what the kind of, the hidden picture is. I think it's probably becoming more a facet of the modern world, which seems absolutely riven with conspiracy theories of every sort. Sure.
Well, particularly with respect to contemporary politics and so on, which, who knows where we're going.
We're always convinced that there's another story, and it's really another story within the story within the story.
Now, moving on, because obviously your oeuvre includes Urban Dog back in 2001, Out of the Woods in 2007. You'd freelanced as a writer, editor and journalist for the Daily Telegraph and developed that whole side of things. Do you find that your journalistic skills actually help as a writer? Do they add to the creativity? Does it actually help with the discipline of writing? Or is it just a case of, well, it was a step to bring me to the person I am today?
Well, all those things, really. I mean, I had an invaluable kind of education in writing when I worked at the Daily Telegraph in particular. During, I think, what was, I think people would now look back and say it was a golden kind of era, when it really did kind of harbour and shelter a lot of people whose first interest was in writing books.
Did we still have liquid lunches in those days, Will, or was that just something completely different?
Just as those were kind of going out, the Telegraph had moved from Fleet Street to Canary Wharf. I did work with a few people who were very keen on a spot of lunch,
yes,
as they put it, but there weren't many of them left at that point.
Yeah, indeed.
But there was a very kind of discursive kind of in culture, and one that sort of certainly did encourage writing. I think if you look at those newspapers now, I think the writing, I've got to say, is of very much secondary importance to them.
So it's the overall, it's not so much the craft of the writer, it's getting the headline and the story, presumably.
Because things are, we're dealing in the world of internet, and that it's all about content, really, isn't it? It's about sort of driving kind of engagement. And so, the art of actually kind of constructing an article and argument and putting things together becomes slightly secondary. I think when I worked at the Telegraph in those days, they had an extraordinary raft of writers. They had, Auburn Wall and Craig Brown and people like that. And the columnists were substantial literary figures in their own right. And I worked actually at the Telegraph under my editor. There was a guy called Hugh Massingbird, who in fact family was a Lincolnshire family, the Massingbirds, who come from Gumby. So he had a strong connection with the area, but he was an amazingly knowledgeable man and a wonderfully kind of generous editor as well, but someone who had an absolute kind of obsession with precision around fact and around kind of getting exactly the right phrase. It really did teach you to write short, and I worked there not only as a columnist and as a feature writer across a number of newspapers, but especially the Daily Telegraph. But I worked on the Telegraph as an obituaries editor. So at the time when obituaries were becoming very kind of.
So how far in advance did you used to prepare them?
I still now see people pop into the paper, so I think I must have written up 10, 20 years ago. In those days, it was a very different kind of world because it was long before the internet and electronic storage. So we had a cuttings file on the top floor of the Telegraph building, which was literally full of dusty newspaper cuttings and folders, and you used to get those out, and from those cuttings you construct a kind of a biography and print it off and then store it in a series of grey filing cabinets, which were a kind of sort of intermediate, land somewhere between life and death. And then those people would be kind of pulled out when their time came or periodically updated. So there we had thousands and thousands of people written in advance.
It sort of suggests to myself a kind of scene from one of the Powell Pressburger movies, like A Matter of Life and Death and Obituaries, that kind
of thing. It was very much like that. It was very, very much like that. And in fact, Powell and Pressburger, of course, my favourite filmmakers. But it was a very different kind of thing. It was actually you know, it wasn't at all a kind of morbid sort of environment. It was very much a celebration of what people had done in their lives. And the Telegraph obits in those days under Hugh had reputation for being quite, not scurrilous, but sort of humorous and taking a real interest in the kind of anecdotes about people's lives and the kind of, you know, the funny stories and narratives that there were around them.
And then, of course, the Barclay brothers, but we best not speak of them or various other sort of folk.
So much has changed in the way that people view newspapers. Newspapers used to be seen as not only the mouthpieces of important people, but not necessarily as money-making machines. And I think that the aggregation of media, under certain sort of people, has resulted in, you know, people looking at them as you know, in the way they go about purchasing things, has made people look for profit in ways that wasn't the case before. Yeah.
I love the title of your memoir, The Wolf Pit. Was that a kind of nod in the direction of news hounds, perhaps?
No, the context is, I suppose what I write about generally, you know, is the relationship between people and landscape and between people and the natural world. And that's always been my genuine kind of passion, and fundamentally, whether I'm writing about trees or whether I'm writing about moors or hills or villages or communities, it's always about how people inform the landscape and how it informs them. And The Wolf Pit is a family memoir that's set in North Yorkshire, where I was born, and it's about my mother's side of the family, really. There was a mystery there. There was a family tragedy involving my uncle, who was a very wonderful person, who fell victim to depression. And what I was asking there in The Wolf Pit was how it is that some people in life who seem to be the strongest and the best equipped and the most wonderful and lovely fall by the wayside, and how it is that others who seem to be much more pragmatic, perhaps, or, you know, but not so romantic and not such big figures, managed to survive. So it was looking at these kind of questions in the context of the world that my family emerged from there, which was this very kind of remote North Yorkshire kind of community.
Ah, yes, but Will, coming from Yorkshire, clearly you've been able to civilise the folk from Lincolnshire, so that's always critical to the whole side of things.
well, my mother's family, actually, you know, we come from Lincolnshire as well. I mean, two generations out, we farmed in both the north of the county and down by Freeston Shore as well, so... I have strong Lincolnshire connections, and my, of course, my father was in the Air Force, and so since the 1970s, we're fundamentally kind of, my mother still lives.
Absolutely. Well, of course, I mean, we've just experienced the joys of the Great Yorkshire Show. The Lincolnshire Show, of course, is wonderful. But the key thing is to remind folk that you will be back in Lincoln on the 27th of July, Wednesday, 7 p.m, evening talk and signing by your good self, Will Cahoo, at, of course, Linden Books. Have you been to Linden Books before?
Yes, I know it well. I bought plenty of books. I was in there last weekend.
Excellent.
In fact, I used to live on the Bale Gate just opposite, where the bookshop is now. And I'm delighted to see that, you know, Lincoln still has this strong kind of, you know, group of independent
indeed
shops.
And we were celebrating
bookshops. They're very precious things, and I they deserve all the support that people can give them. They really, you don't notice, I think people don't notice how kind of crucial these are to a sense of community until they're kind of gone, and then, you know, so support your local shop.
We were very much celebrating independent bookstore week, of course, a couple of months ago, actually, it's just sensational that's working through there. I cannot believe that tickets are a mere £4. I mean, I thought there was a decimal point. Oh, I thought £40, perhaps, you know, but £4, you'll also get a glass of wine, or soft drink, book early, contact the fine folk, Jill Hart, or indeed Sasha, two wonderful folk at Linden Books. Will, a reminder, of course, as well, that Nothing But Grass is available now. You can actually read the book, work through the whole process, and then meet the author. What's not to appreciate about that?
Well, there's nothing not to appreciate. No. I mean, the book is...
Even though technically that was a double negative, so we'll work through it.
I know, you'll get me all muddled up.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's sensational stuff, Nothing But Grass. Two final questions for yourself, Will. I mean, this is going out on Inspired On Air, but we will put them to you in any case. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yes, it's been brilliant, actually. The clarity of it has been very, very good.
Well, Will, can we hopefully look forward to maybe seeing you back in the Siren studio before too long and maybe connecting again with us and talking more about your life and times and other factors as well?
Yes, no, any time. No, I'm very, 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 very happy to... talk to you guys anytime that it might be useful. I also work, incidentally, for the Arts Council, and so we have a kind of interest in higher education, and I think we've done quite a bit. We've been doing quite a bit of work with Lincoln.
I was going to mention the editorial managership at Arts Council England, but I thought that'd be just too much goodness for one interview.
That's also my professional career. So I mustn't get my personal opinions muddled up with my professional career. I'm talking my
exactly.
You know, whereas the Arts Council side is absolutely fascinating, and it plays and it will play, I hope, an increasing importance.
And actually, on a serious note, fundamentally, and I speak here as a science graduate, we need the arts, we need the humanities to continue to actually provide not only inspiration, but also a sense of purpose for this thing we call life.
Oh, without doubt, that's been the kind of the argument we've been trying to get across. I think it's going to become, over the next few years, well, God knows what the next few years hold now, but I think it's going, you know, that's going to become an increasingly important argument.
Yeah. I'm personally looking at a trip to Mars as a possibility, actually, and maybe sort of expanding that side of things. It could be an option.
I did have a friend who sent me a film of a sort of fantasized, you know, sort of trip to Jupiter.
Mm. Yeah, you know, well, nice sort of satellites, all sorts of there. For the moment, Will Calhoun, many thanks indeed. We'll speak again very soon.
Thank you very much indeed.
Excellent. Have you ever encountered Will Calhoun, Michael Blackburn?
No, I haven't, but I'm listening to that and reading.
You can meet him in person next Wednesday,
right,
the 27th of July, 7 o'clock at Linden Books.
Right. I'll have to read some.
Tickets are mere £4, so great stuff there. Coming up very, very shortly, we'll be going to Treasure Island with Alice, which is always important because already when we actually record... Well, actually, it's going out live. If you listen to it on Thursday, you will be listening to a recorded version of Inspired on Air, followed, I believe, rapidly by the Rock Train and a whole heap of other goodies as far as Siren FM is concerned. But Long John Silver is awaiting. Bit like going to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, where they make your dreams come true, don't they, Alice Dale?
We do indeed, or at least we try.
Yeah. So the Christmas show is already being sorted out now. The auditions will be starting, I would have thought, in the not too distant future.
We've already done our auditions.
You've casted.
Yeah. So it's the students that perform the show. Mm-hmm. There are third-year students who are all studying a module, and they spend the entire of first semester working towards having this complete show. And then it goes on.
It goes amazingly.
Yeah.
Let's start again. Now, I've been privileged last year to see, obviously, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Missed the one, The Lion, the Witch. Oh, no, The Lion, the Witch, and Wardrobe, I did actually catch. I thought it was wonderful. Peter Pan actually had cyclists reciting lines while cycling in theatre in the round. That's phenomenal. I mean, take that, Bradley Wiggins and Mark Cavendish, but they managed to cope. Well, did anybody actually fall off? Did you?
There was one where they had to get caught as they went off the
exactly,
stage,
yes.
And there was one girl who wasn't caught.
Had she not done the right sort of thing? And,
I think she just slipped by and then she fell off. I think she might have like gone towards the seating banks instead of to the exit, so yeah. There was a slight problem there, but she was okay in the end. She was fine.
It's the business of show. Yep. You've got to actually work through that whole process. Ben, you said you'd actually known somebody who was actually in one of the performances.
Yeah, well, two of my next door neighbours in the flats where I live in at the minute, they're currently drama students, first year, just finished.
Would you like to give them, in the vernacular, a shout out, then, Ben?
Oh, Adam Bennett and James Riley.
Oh,
yeah,
so but listen to that on the podcast. Say, yeah, yeah. Hey, we're famous.
Well, yeah. We did actually watch us a flat. We went to see a couple of performances on, one which I missed, but there was a couple of performances they had at the end of the year. I can't remember exactly what play it was. It was quite sort of small play, but it was supposed to be for something. It was a competition which they'd be judged for to get to National Theatre.
Mm-hmm. It was called Eclipse.
That was it, Eclipse. Yeah. I've been corrected there, but
Alice is always your finger on the pulse.
Yeah, yeah.
Alice, just check because as I say, you've moved from being marketing intern to now you're taking over the role of full marketing soul for a wee while.
So I'll be the marketing coordinator from kind of September onwards, mm-hmm. Whilst Julie's off having her baby, yeah. And then she'll come back.
Has Julie left us yet?
No, we've got her for a week. She's gone at the end of this week.
Because
so.
I didn't sort of send the invite to her for this show because I wasn't sure whether she'd already headed off. And curiously enough, her sister, Suzanne, is mm-hmm. a bit poorly, otherwise she might have been here.
Oh, okay. Oh,
very strange. Keeping the LB family thing coordinated in every sense of the word. But as I was going to say, consider it as Julie doing her bit to increase the attendance of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, really. So mm-hmm. It's all great stuff there. How can people actually become part of the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre and indeed find out about what things are happening with LPAC?
So you can go to our website, www.lpac.co.uk, and have a browse for our events. You can also sign up to our mailing list where we'll send you out a brochure, and you can have that on your doorstep.
It's doorstop and doorstep,
technically. and you can give our box office a ring on 01522 837 600 and have a chat to our friendly staff who will answer any of your questions. Mm.
And just looking at the look ahead to Treasure Island, one snowy winter's night, a young girl searches through her uncle's attic and finds a treasure chest. With a secret treasure map in her pocket and the ghost of Captain Flint never far behind, young Jem Hawkins, see what they did there, Jem Hawkins, it's politically correct, it's great, yes, is drawn into a world of swashbuckling excitement, brimming with buccaneers and buried gold as she sets sail to Treasure Island. What we like to see, striking and taking it for the girls. Marvellous stuff there. So, Michael, are you looking forward to Treasure Island?
I might have a look at that one. I want to know what else is going on, actually.
Let's quickly go through some of the sort of highlights of the season, the sort of upcoming. Please, Alice.
Okay, so we have, obviously I spoke about earlier, we have Pop Out Festival. Something that might interest you, Michael, is, I know you mentioned Shakespeare earlier, we have our new in-house professional company called Lincoln Stage Company. They're doing their first performance, which is Much Ado About Nothing, and it's in the roundabout, so it's in the round, a little bit different than the original version, but we're really excited about that. We also have Tapeface, who was on America's
and
Got
I have
Talent.
Indeed interviewed him have without you? The tape on his face.
So you've heard him speak.
Exactly, because obviously when you're doing a radio interview and it's a phoner, all you get is which doesn't really go far in terms of the whole thing. But yes, he does speak and he's very talented.
Yeah, you're one of the lucky few that's heard him speak then. But we've got him coming as part of Lincoln Comedy Festival on Sunday the 16th of October.
And Shappy Corsandi
returns.
Yeah,
Shappy is coming back. We're really excited about it.
And Julian Clary.
Yeah, Julian is on...
Without Wonder Dog Fanny, or indeed the Joan Collins fan club. It used to be Wonder Dog Fanny with the Joan Collins fan club.
Yeah, but Julian's returning on... Returning? We've not had him before, sorry. On Saturday the 15th of October, and that's also part of Lincoln Comedy Festival, but he's selling really well, so...
And the joy of mincing.
Yes.
You know, how often, we've sort of said, look... Clearly, academics at the University of Lincoln, we should be door mincing in Lincoln. Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with that one. I just step aside quite easily on that sort of basis. It's the heat, Michael. It's the heat, clearly.
Get a grip.
Ben, from what you've just heard, anything appeal to yourself? Because there are student discounts, are there not, Alice?
So we have our new Live Pass membership, which is for under 26s and students. So you sign up and you get... £5 tickets for a lot of shows, and there's a few £10 tickets and £12.50 tickets thrown in there as well.
No, I'd definitely be interested. Obviously, it was the one last year, and I really wanted to go to because there's definitely a few of my favourite comics. I love stand-up comedy, and there was quite a few of them last year, but having just started a new job last October, it was one something I couldn't actually come and join, which I was quite gutted about. But
the time will emerge, I'm sure, when Ben Lewis will appear, in the same sort of build. It'll happen.
I wish.
And Michael, anything else you want to promote from your own perspective? Any sort of plugs for the events that are coming up, books that people can buy and so on?
I did have a book out recently.
Yes,
called Albion Days, which is available on Amazon. And I think it's... cheaply priced at $6.99. It's a big book. The words are very big.
Albion Days.
It's great.
Big book, big words. Fantastic. Great stuff, Albion Days. Ben, thank you for taking part in your first Inspired On Air. Will you
thank
be
you
returning?
Very much. I'd love to, if you want to have me on again.
What do you think, Alice? Has he passed the test?
I think he's done pretty well.
Well, thanks, guys.
Very critical. And Michael, thank you as ever. The August edition will be with us before we know it. You might be listening to this on a Thursday. You might be listening to it as a podcast. Whatever the weather, we actually wrap up with those two words, be inspired. So, a one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.